Before December 31st, 2009, Kevin Pierce was one of the most spectacular snowboarders anybody had ever seen. He'd challenged Shaun White, a.k.a. the Flying Tomato, for the status of top dog in the sport, having won 3 medals at the 2008 Winter X Games and another one in 2009. He was training in Park City, Utah for the 2010 Olympics when he crashed.
I tried the trick and ended up coming down on my front edge and resulted in slamming my head to the sheer ice halfpipe and left me in a coma. So it was pretty intense.
After December 31st, 2009, Kevin Pierce became, among other things, a case study. He didn't open his eyes for 10 days after the accident. His first memory came a month later.
At the time, you know, his eyes were looking different directions. He couldn't remember from 1 minute to the next meeting me, so he'd keep reintroducing himself.
Lucy Walker is the director of The Crash Reel, a documentary about Kevin Pierce and his family. She met Kevin a few months after the crash.
His head was shaven and he couldn't read. He took naps all the time. He was a very early in his recovery. And it was actually amazing to me with these traumatic brain injuries, quite how bad they can look and quite what an amazing recovery you can have.
The Crash Reel includes footage of Kevin and his snowboarding buddies, who called their group Friends, F-R-E-N-D-S, doing various impressive stunts. It also includes a video recording of the crash and film of the especially difficult time when Kevin, and Kevin alone, thought he would one day return to the halfpipe as a world-class snowboarder, though all the members of his exceptionally supportive and understanding family and his doctors were urging him to throttle back his expectations.
You could have brain bleeding. That's fatal for you.
But I kind of don't understand what you're saying because I felt totally fine. And a lot of things that I'm going to continue to do with my life are going to be risky.
Many painful months later, thanks in great part to the patience of his family, Kevin finally began to understand not only that he'd never again be a competitive snowboarder, but why it had taken him so long to recognize that fact, a circumstance about which we recently spoke.
My brain wanted to tell me that I was fine and that, you know, nothing was wrong and that I was going to be all good to get back to this, you know, this sport that I love so much and I had so much fun doing.
Perhaps part of what made acceptance so challenging for Kevin was that before his injury, though he knew lots of other snowboarders and skiers who'd had terrible accidents, he thought he was invulnerable.
You know, I really did. At that point in my life, it was like nothing. It didn't feel like anything could happen to me. I was so good at what I was doing and I was so experienced.
The Crash Reel brings the viewer into the Pierce family dining room where Kevin's parents and brothers endure his fantasy of returning to competition and gently urge him toward a more realistic appreciation of his future, an appreciation his brain cannot process. Filmmaker Lucy Walker acknowledges that it was the family's strength that enabled her to refrain from stepping out from behind the camera to tell Kevin to relinquish his dream of returning to the podium. The result is a film that's at least as much about what Walker calls the most functional family I've ever known as it is about the glory and the risks associated with extreme sports. Still, the experience has changed the way Walker views what Kevin Pierce used to do and what his friends are still doing and will be doing for an audience in the millions in Sochi a few months from now.
When I watch extreme sports, my eyes are sucked out of my head. It's mesmerizing. It's dazzling and acrobatic, and they're inventing it as they go along. It couldn't be more thrilling. But there's a big part of me that sees what they're doing and knows that the stakes are life and death.
Kevin Pierce's injury was horrendous, but it was not unique. Mark Petruzzi writes for Outside Magazine. He produced a special report on the rise of traumatic brain injuries for the magazine's December issue. Petruzzi has numbers of friends and acquaintances who've suffered terrible accidents, some of them fatal, while engaged in extreme sports that seem to only get more extreme. The first halfpipes in which snowboarders competed were 4 feet high. As Petruzzi recently told me, the halfpipe in which Kevin Pierce was practicing was 22 feet high.
22 foot high is the height of the pipe itself, but when you launch out of it, the best athletes, whether they're on skis or snowboards, are 20 to 24 feet above the lip, which means they're 47 feet above hard, flat ice. And the bottom of a half pipe is not snow. It looks like snow on TV, but it's as hard as the pavement.
Because extreme athletes depend heavily on the endorsement money they get from the companies that make equipment, clothing, sports drinks, and the other products associated directly or indirectly with their heroics, Some who see the sports as ridiculously dangerous have blamed the corporations for pushing the athletes to try ever more risky tricks. Kevin Pierce won't go along with that.
I never had any pressure put on me. If there was ever pressure, it was solely myself putting the pressure on myself, and never the sponsors once or my parents or my family. Ever were they trying to push me to do more than I was comfortable doing. And it was always, you know, my choice, and it was me that was wanting to get better and move forward with snowboarding.
Having spent years filming Kevin and his family, documentarian Lucy Walker is inclined to agree, albeit with reservations.
I don't see individual evil people luring people to their deaths, but I see an industry that has found itself in a situation where going bigger, doing more flips, more tricks, more danger is a part of the excitement. And the conversation about safety is not keeping up with the pace of the thrilling evolution in the sport.
Walker's hope is that the film will teach people about at least minimal safety measures, that helmets and insurance are two good ideas, for example. She'd like to see more energetic efforts to educate athletes about how relatively minor head injuries should be treated. But the triumph of the crash reel is the portrayal of a family as its members deal with an extraordinarily difficult set of circumstances. Today, Kevin Pierce is part of a campaign started by Lucy Walker called Love Your Brain. He speaks to groups about what he has learned from his experiences as an athlete and as a former athlete recovering from traumatic brain injury. The crash reel opens in theaters on December 13th. Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabue. Our technical director this week was Paul Veitkus. Our intern is Zoe Sobel, and our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To learn more about the crash reel, please visit onlyagame.org. Our final word this week is from Sports on Earth's Will Leach, who ponders the post-playing career of former Diamondbacks and Red Sox ace Curt Schilling.
Everything he's done after he retired has been a fiasco. Like, there are states suing him, and he still goes on television. Everyone's like, well, this guy's smart. He played baseball and is wearing a tie.
Oh, so if I wear a tie, nah, wouldn't work. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the Lummelson Foundation, supporting inventors and invention to improve lives in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lummelson.org. The Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness, on the web at melvilletrust.org. And the Annie E. Casey Foundation, developing solutions to support strong families and communities for America's children, at aecf.org. This is NPR.